Well, praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. We're so blessed to know him. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank God for what he's done and what he's doing. Thank our God. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad we have a solid rock to stand on. Oh, my. You know how sand drifts and goes here and there. It flies all over the place. That's the way most people are as far as the foundation goes. They don't have one. But praise the Lord. We have the Lord Jesus, and we're building our house on that solid rock. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a great privilege. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we are blessed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the good things that you have done. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your patience with us, Lord. Oh, thank you for that arm that we can lean on, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, that solid rock that we can stand on, Lord Jesus. And I pray, oh, Lord, that you would talk to us tonight. Oh, God, that you'd draw us closer to you, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that you'd give us a great hope within our hearts and our minds, oh, Lord God, that, oh, God, our pursuits would all be to endeavor to be on thy right hand, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, to be able to stand on that day when you come to judge this world in righteousness. Oh, God, put it within us. Oh, God, talk to us. Oh, God, help us, oh, Lord, as we draw nigh to you. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that you would touch us tonight. Oh, Lord, that you'd move the obstacles of the mountains that need to go, Lord. I pray that you would work, Lord. Oh, God, you know those that need a healing touch, Lord. And oh, God, I pray for Penny. I pray for Mackenzie. Oh, God, I pray for her daughter, oh, Lord, that is sick, oh, God. And I pray, oh, Lord, that you would move, oh, Lord, to touch and to heal, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, to make a quick recovery, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, for thou art so able. Thou art so willing, Lord. And, oh, God, we do bring it to thee, Lord. Oh, God, I pray for Nancy Brown's daughter, too. This Nancy Lynn, Lord, that, oh, God, has cancer and has COVID. And, oh, God, the dad who is also very sick, oh, may not live too long. Oh, God, I pray that you would talk to their hearts. I pray, oh, God, that you'd move in their lives. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you'd help them to see their great need. Oh, God, help them to see that they need to turn to thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that they would even glimpse, oh, Lord, the lake of fire, Lord, if that's necessary, Lord, to help them, oh, Lord, to know that there is a way of escape. Oh, Lord, talk to your people, Lord. Oh, God, talk to those that are in dire straits and, oh, who so desperately need to turn to you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would move, Lord. Oh, God, that you would move in your people, Lord. Oh, God, that you would deliver, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, oh, Lord, that you cause our hearts to be stirred. Oh, God, cause us to go to that higher ground, oh, Lord, and to seek you with all our hearts. Oh, God, you know everything, God. You know the lateness of the hour. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be looking, to be ready, to have oil in our lamps. Oh, God, talk to us, Lord. Oh, God, help us to be ready. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd work, Lord. Oh, God, I pray for Sister Shirley's daughter, too, Lord. Oh, God, that you would help Christina, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that you would also help her. Oh, God, to get right with you, Lord. Oh, God, to see things rightly as they are, oh, God. And, oh, God, to get her heart right with you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you know all our needs. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd move, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you would help. I pray that you'd help Tim's Uncle Johnny, Lord, this man, too, who needs a touch from you, who needs to be delivered, who needs to be set free. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd help him, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh, God, you came to deliver. You came to set the captive free. Oh, God, to bring deliverance to them that are bound. And I thank you for what you have done and what you're going to do. Oh, Lord, in your precious holy name, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. And it's a blessing to know him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I did have a happy week with my daughter and her husband and my granddaughters. It had been a long time since I had seen them. Serena was just a little tiny thing at that moment when I last saw her, and I believe Sophia was like 4 and now, or 5 maybe, and now she's like 15. So, oh my, it was a joyful, happy time. Not without a lot of action and activities, and oh boy, just a little bit of drama from time to time. But praise the Lord, it was good. It was very precious. And thank the Lord for it. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord for his goodness to us. Oh, we are so blessed to know the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to be opening our Bibles up tonight and go into study as the Lord leads. I'd like to call this message, What Time I Am Afraid. What Time I Am Afraid. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. He knows how to help us. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 26 to begin here tonight. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26. Praise the Lord. We're going to deal with the very first portion of the scripture as far as I know at the moment. This is quite a script, quite a chapter all the way around. But let's look at these first 4 verses here as we begin here tonight. Praise our God. Isaiah 26, verse 1, it says, In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm just going to stop right there with that first verse and just give some detail here. First of all, I've noted in the scripture when you see that phrase, in that day, that it's talking about, it seems like almost always in most cases anyway, there may be some exceptions, but for the most part, it seems that in that day refers to the time of the new covenant. So I believe, yes, as you know, even under the old covenant, they were looking forward to that time when the Savior would come, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so, praise the Lord, I believe this verse is looking forward to that moment. And yes, when the Messiah would come, oh my, there was going to be a song that would be sung in the hearts of the people. Oh yes, that would hear the joyful sound, amen, and meet the Savior. And yes, the cry is, we have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Well, typically, if you're going to come and take over a city, you know, you would have to fight a physical battle. And typically, when we think of strength, we think of some fortification, a strong military, perhaps, and good, solid walls, perhaps, around the city, particularly in time of the Old Testament. But here, this reference is talking about another kind of strength, another kind of salvation. Oh, yes, and it would not be one that needed those physical features, that fortification that generally was necessary to maintain strength within the borders. No, it's talking about the wonder of God's salvation when the Savior would come forth and bring forth his spiritual kingdom. Praise the Lord. Of course, we can just look at a few verses to solidify this thought. I know these are familiar, so bear with me if you know this very well. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. It tells us in those verses here, if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, looking at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And here he is. He's talking about the new covenant. And yes, as human beings, we have flesh. But it goes on to explain in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That was such a strange, difficult thing, it seemed like, for people to grasp, that Jesus didn't come to bring forth a physical kingdom. Oh, indeed, he was king in that sense, but he wasn't crowned here on earth at that point. And as he explained to Pilate, when he stood before him, he explained that his kingdom was not of this world. Jesus said in chapter 18 of the book of John, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And of course we know that, honestly, people did not grasp it. Even those that followed him didn't really completely understand that. Of course, Pilate isn't understanding it really either. It says in verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? I mean, how can you be a king if your kingdom is not of this world? But Jesus answered that 37th verse by saying, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the world, unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Oh my soul, here he was unraveling his plan. In that sense, he came into this world to bring forth a kingdom. And that's what his ministry was about. But the thing was, yes, the thing that was so hard for them to grasp is that his kingdom was not of this world. It was a spiritual kingdom. And that's why he'd come, to set his people free from their sins, to bear witness of the truth. And praise the Lord, those that are of the truth would hear him, would know his voice, would hear his voice, would acknowledge his ministry. Amen. Of course, Pilate isn't really comprehending it. And verse 38 says, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Oh, praise the Lord. I believe that Pilate could perceive that Jesus was not an ordinary individual. He didn't fully grasp all the concepts that Jesus was declaring here in this portion of scripture, but I believe he knew in his heart that Jesus was not a guilty man. Oh my, that he came with a mission. There was something, deeper in Pilate that he could acknowledge and understand, but yet I'm sure he didn't grasp it in its entirety. But he knew one thing, he didn't find any fault in Jesus Christ. Oh my, it's so sad. He presented an option to the Jewish people. Verse 39, he said, but ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? And here he was putting this innocent man, against this man, Barabbas, who was a robber, and besides that, he was guilty of insurrection. He was a murderer from what the other books indicate. He was very guilty. And oh my, how driven those Jews were at that moment to say, Not this man, but Barabbas. Oh, to cry and clamor for Barabbas, the man who was a robber and a murderer, guilty of insurrection and all kinds of crimes. Oh, what a story. But oh, yes, Jesus definitely came to bring forth a spiritual kingdom. And so back here in Isaiah 26, when you know it's being declared, we have a strong city. That strength comes forth because Jesus was going to bring forth salvation. Salvation. And it would be a protection that comes from within. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Oh, yes, the protection from the enemy would be in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, oh, the one in whom we trust. The one who is our place of refuge. Oh, yes, that place of harboring from the storms and from all the enemies that come to oppose us. Amen. Praise our God. And oh, yeah, you could take this a little bit further. If you look at Isaiah 60. Oh, yes, Isaiah 60. There's a little more that is given to us in Isaiah 60 and verse 18. And I believe we're taking it beyond this world. It says in verse 18, as Jesus he had referenced his kingdom, but here I believe this scripture is referencing the kingdom of God and that eternal place that he has prepared for his people. It tells us in verse 18 here, Isaiah 60, violence shall no more be heard in thy land. Wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, a little more is explained in the next verse. Verse 19, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light. And thy God, thy glory. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 20, the sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light. And the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Praise the Lord. Verse 21, thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, yes, that place where there is no sin, where all is righteous. Praise the Lord, where his people shall inherit that land forever. Oh, that's his planting, the work of the Lord. Oh, his seed, his people that he came to this earth to bring forth. Praise the Lord, his harvest, you could say. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Oh, praise the Lord, the people of the Lord. Oh, yes, that shine forth on that day. Praise the Lord, that stand on his right hand. Praise the Lord, that time of the judgment. Oh, yes. So, Jesus Christ came, oh, to bring forth salvation. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. So it tells us in verse 1 of Isaiah 26. And then the next verse, verse 2, says, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful day when the Lord opened up the gates. Oh, he came to this world to proclaim salvation. Oh, he said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Praise the Lord. He came to bring us to God. Oh, yes, to give us hope beyond this world so we have access to Almighty God. And those gates were opened, those gates of salvation, so that we could come freely unto the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We didn't have to seek another. We didn't have to go seek a priest or someone else to bring us to God. But he made a way that we could come to him directly. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, as that process continues as we give our lives over to the living God, as we turn from our sin and obey the gospel. Oh, praise the Lord, repentance and baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. It's all marching to that moment. And the gates of heaven are opened for his people. Oh, his righteous people, that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, that holy nation, that peculiar people that the Lord hath brought forth. Oh, yes, as it tells us in 1 Peter, that second chapter. Oh, a people that would show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Oh, praise the Lord. He was talking specifically about the Gentile people, that the doors of salvation would be opened unto. Oh, praise the Lord, who in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God that he opened up those gates of salvation. Oh, praise the Lord that he made a way that we could come unto him. Oh, yes, and drink at the wells of living water. Thank you, Jesus. So praise the Lord. And then that third verse here in this chapter, praise the Lord. It says in verse 3 here, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there's a lot in this third verse here. We all desire peace. The world clamors after it. But in reality, there is no real peace except by the Lord Jesus. He's the only one who can take our lives and give us his peace that passeth all understanding. Oh, a peace that goes beyond the trials and tribulations of this world. Oh, we are in this world, and Jesus said that in this world we would have tribulation. But he also told us to be of good cheer, because he had overcome the world. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He spoke those things before he went to Gethsemane. Oh, yes, that they might have peace, his peace. And yes, this is a cruel world. It's full of trouble. Oh, we don't know from one moment to the next, you know, what will take place. Oh, it's full of ups and downs and disappointments. It's full of tears. Sometimes there's pain. There can be suffering. Oh, there's much tribulation in this world. And Jesus told us we would have tribulation. But praise the Lord beyond that. Oh, he told us to be of good cheer, because he overcame the world. He sent back his spirit so that we too can overcome this world. Amen. Praise the Lord. So here in Isaiah 26, he said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Oh my, perfect peace. Oh yeah, so it doesn't waver. It's not restless. It's complete, you know. Oh, despite what the enemy may be trying to do, there's a people that know the joyful sound and can walk in peace. No matter what is going on, no matter if the waves are raging on the sea or there's a tornado brewing on the ground, and though everything is shaking in the political world, Jesus came to bring us his peace, a perfect peace. But it's qualified here in this verse. It says, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Oh, praise the Lord, the simplicity of trust. Little children have a natural tendency to trust when, you know, they feel comfortable, they feel comforted, you know, they have parents that they can believe that trust them, or that love them, rather. It's easy in that sense to place one's confidence or reliance in such situations, to have trust, to have faith in such as that. But how we need to trust the Lord. Oh my, we need a faith that doesn't waver, a mind that is stayed upon the Lord. And you know, that is such a secret. We so need to learn to keep our minds off ourselves and off our troubles and put our focus on Jesus. Just as it was when Peter was walking on the water, he could do that as long as his focus was on Jesus. But as we know, when he looked at the waves, he looked at the troubled sea and lost his focus, all at once he was falling. He was drowning, you could say. And thus it is with us. We need to have our focus stayed upon the Lord. And oh yes, I know Sister Penny and I had a good talk today. And you know, she was telling me how she's trying to stay focused on God's word, singing songs of praise and worshiping and praising the Lord. And these are keys. These are secrets to having that peace with the Lord Jesus. These are ways to keep our minds stayed on God. Oh, so, you know, it's not moved. It's stable. It's on the solid rock. And, you know, it's in our heart. You know, that song, "This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Praise the Lord." Yeah, this is what my focus is. This is what my determination is. This is where my heart is. Praise the Lord. My mind is stayed on God. Praise the Lord. Because we have a trust. We know that we can trust in our Savior. We know his promises are yea and amen. What he declared in his word will surely come to pass. It is stable. It is solid. It is going to rock. It isn't changing. It isn't one way, one moment, and completely different the next, as things in this world tend to be. Oh my, if we've lived very long at all, we know how things change. But praise the Lord, our focus, our hope, our determination can be stayed upon the Lord. It can be fixed on the Lord. Oh yes, so that our life is all going in that direction. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. I'm living for him. I don't want to look to the right. I don't want to look to the left. I don't want to fall. I don't want to remove my focus. Oh, praise the Lord from our Lord and Savior. Oh, there's a great secret in that. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, there is such a secret in praise. You know, Psalms 22, another familiar portion of Scripture, how it reads, Psalms 22, verse 3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Oh, praise the Lord. I believe that was one of David's secrets. Oh, yes, he knew how to praise the Lord, how to give him glory, how to worship him. And he realized that, oh, yes, God lives in the praises of his people. Things begin to change when you begin to praise and worship the Lord, when you draw nigh to God and begin to worship him, when your focus stays on the Lord. We all know that reference in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. When Paul and Silas were cast into the inner prison, and their feet were put fast in the stocks. And they had been beaten with many stripes. Oh my, they had been put in there for no good reason at all. They had been put in there because for their witness. But they weren't down in the dumps. They weren't moaning and groaning. They weren't thinking about their pain. And honestly, they were human. They had pain. You know, they had, you know, had stripes laid across their backs. And they weren't comfortable. I'm sure that inner prison was not comfortable by any means. I'm pretty sure it was dark and dingy and not nice at all. And who knows what was crawling around in that place. But you know what? They got their focus off their pain, off their suffering, off their trials, all their tests, all the injustices that had been done. They got their mind on God. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in Acts the 16th chapter, verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that joyful sound as they begin to worship the Lord, as they begin to pray. Oh, praise the Lord. Our focus begins to change when we sing praises with all our being unto the Lord. And God begins to work. Oh, yes, he does inhabit the praises of his people. And God reacted as Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard it. Oh, no, it wasn't like a whisper. Oh, I'm afraid. I don't want anybody to hear me. It was loud. Oh, yes, everybody that was in that prison heard them. God responded. God responded to their praises. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 26 in Acts 16, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Oh, praise the Lord. God reacts to the praises from the heart, the worship from the heart. Oh my, how we need to give him our hearts, how we need to freely worship him. He is so worthy. Oh yes, he has done so much that we might have salvation. He is worthy of our praises. And how we want them to be acceptable in his sight. Oh, yes, the sacrifice of praise. Oh, unto his name. Oh, the fruit of our lips, giving praises unto our God. Oh, yes, he's very pleased with such sacrifices. And, oh, we know this wonderful story. A church was born that day. Oh, yes, because Paul and Silas got their focus on God. Oh, praise the Lord. They forgot about their pain. Oh, the injustices, their afflictions. They got their mind off it. And praise the Lord, God worked in a mighty way. And you know who else heard it? The keeper of the prison. Oh, it tells us in verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Oh my, but oh, Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Oh my, God is working. You never know how God's going to answer, how God's going to work. Our God works in mysterious ways. He has wonders to perform. Oh, you just never know. You might guess. You might have this plan. You might think, oh, it's going to be this way, that way, and another way. You know, you know, God doesn't have to do it our way. But oh my, let him do it his way. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. What a wonderful thing. In verse 29 here in Acts 16 tells us, oh, that keeper of the prison, it says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? oh my, that keeper of the prison, I have a feeling, oh my, he may have heard their singing. He realized that there was something at stake, oh my, you know, there was something that he didn't know, something that he needed, praise the Lord. He was told, they answered Paul and Silas in verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in the house. And not only did they say those words, but it tells us in verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. Oh, they had a meeting that night. Oh, God interrupted everyone's sleep, it seems to me. But oh my, it was the good news of the gospel that was coming forth. And oh my, there was a people, there was a man, he was the keeper of the prison, and his household who needed to hear the gospel. And God was working it out according to his plan, according to his ways. And oh, there was a baptism that night. It says in verse 33, and he took them the same hour the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Oh, praise the Lord. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Oh, the Lord knows how to work in amazing ways if we'll just let him. Oh, praise the Lord. But oh, what worship will do. Praise the Lord. Yes, that keeper of the prison heard the word of the Lord that night. Oh, he heard the plan of salvation that night. And oh, my, salvation came to that man and to his household. Oh, yes. He washed Paul and Silas' stripes, all the wounds that were inflicted on their bodies. But oh my, what a joyful occasion. Oh, because they baptized that man that night and his household. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, and he went away. Yeah, there was rejoicing. There was believing in God with all his house. I'll tell you, if you want to be happy, oh my, bring somebody to the Lord. Oh, bring them to that point where they repent and are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins. And praise the Lord, to the point where the Holy Ghost comes upon them. They speak with other tongues and magnify God. Amen. You want to be happy? Oh my, you get in that place, you're going to forget about everything else. But oh, we see what happened when Paul and Silas were willing to get their mind off of their affliction and worship the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. And verse 4 here in Isaiah 26 tells us, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Oh, it's a wonderful thing when we have a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. We've got a friend that we can trust beyond any other possibility. Praise the Lord. We can lean on his everlasting arm. We can trust in the Lord with all our heart. And as we're told in Proverbs, that third chapter, oh, that need to lean not unto our own understanding. I mean, see, that can compound things. You know, we're not going to understand all the ways of God. We're not going to understand all the whys in this world. But we can trust our God. He's with us. We are his children. And we're told in verse 6 of Proverbs 3, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there's so much in this chapter. Oh, yes. We're also told, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Yes, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Well, praise the Lord. It's pretty precious, but we can trust in the Lord. Oh, yes. Trust ye in the Lord forever, forever. For in the Lord, Jehovah is everlasting strength. Oh, praise the Lord. Psalms 112, verse 7 tells us, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Amen. We went there last week. But oh yes, if your trust is embedded in the promises of God, then you don't have to be afraid of evil tidings. Your heart is fixed. Oh, it's not bouncing all over the place. Oh yeah, you're not double-minded, in other words. It's fixed. It's settled. It's established. It's trusting in the Lord, knowing, yes, he is my solid rock. And regardless of what I see with my eyes, I'm going to trust in him. For as we know, faith is not feeling. No, faith is trusting in God and leaning on his promises and keeping our focus on the Lord Jesus. And believing what he has declared will surely come to pass. Amen. Psalms 125 verse 1 tells us, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. You see the stability that is in trusting our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Oh yes, that is the anchor of our soul. Oh, that's where you're going to find rest. That's where you're going to find stability. That's where you're going to find the answers. That's where you're going to find peace. Amen. Psalms 56, and I'm turning there right now. Psalms 56 tells us, we look at it here, David, who went through so many afflictions and unknowns, fightings, oh yes, running from enemies, even from the king, Saul, amen. Oh, he's writing here in Psalms chapter 56 after a great battle in his mind, in his way, in his walk, all that he had to endure here after a conflict. He says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. But here's verse 3. And here we have one of David's secrets. Oh yes, he had a confidence in God. He had a trust in God. Amen. He relied on God. And he said in verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Praise the Lord. See, he was looking beyond the enemies that oppressed him and tried to devour him, swallow him up, oh, and fight against him, oppose him in every way they could think. He says, every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. I believe that's talking about them taking his words and twisting them and, wrestling with them. In other words, changing them, distorting them, making it sound like he said something that he didn't. It says, they gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Oh, they're trying to hinder him. They're trying to harm him. They're trying to get even with him. Whatever all they can think of, whatever evil comes to mind. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. They'll tell us my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Oh, isn't that precious? All those tears that fall from our face at times when we're struggling and we're going through difficulties. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord knows. He even sees those tears. Oh, praise the Lord. And here David is saying, thou tellest my wanderings. Oh, you know it all. You know my struggles. You know my thoughts. You know my wonders and all of this. And oh, would you take my tears, put them into your bottle? Are they not in thy book? Oh, the Lord keeping record even of such as that. Oh, praise the Lord. He says in verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Now, that's so true. God is for us. And yes, if God be for us, who can be against us? As the book of Romans declares, that 8th chapter. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And he says, when I cry unto thee, oh, Lord, you hear it. You hear it. Oh, yes. Then shall mine enemies turn back. God hears those cries. Oh, he knows those needs even before we ask. And yes, this we know. This we know. I'll tell you what, you may battle. And the devil, you know, he likes to come up with all those lies and say, oh, you did this, you did that, you're worthless, you're no good, oh my, you're despicable, ah, oh, you're nasty, you've gone too far now. Well, that's the devil. That's the devil. Because God is for us. God is for us. Oh, he's there for us. He wants us to overcome. He wants us to have the victory. Praise the Lord. And David, the psalmist, realized this. Oh, this I know, for God is for me. Amen. He's for us. He wants us to make it to heaven. He came to this world to die so that we might have eternal life. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, yes, the goodness and the mercy of our Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, his goodness that brings us to repentance so we can turn our lives over to the living God. Oh, yes, so we can be remorseful and repent of our sins and give our hearts to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, what an opportunity, what a gift. Praise the Lord, that's our God's mercy. And praise the Lord, it's oh, what a relief. When you give it over to the Lord, it might be all bottled up inside. You might have, you know, been putting it off and putting it off. Oh, how wonderful it is when, oh, you just let it go. Oh, let it come from the heart. Oh, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need you, Lord Jesus. I know I need your help. I know I need your mercy. I know I need to repent and turn my life over to thee. Oh, what a relief when you give it over to the Lord and acknowledge him, give him those struggles in your heart, and oh, turn it over to him. Oh, let him have his way. Let him have his way in your heart. Give it to him now. Now is the acceptable time. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Praise the Lord. It's important. It's seriously important. It's imperative that we give our lives over to the living God and that we repent and turn everything over to him. Praise the Lord. And he went on to say here in Psalms 56, verse 10, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, after he acknowledged, for God is for me. Oh, he says, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. Oh, praise the Lord, that foundation, those words of life that we can stand on. Oh, praise the Lord, we can praise our God. We can praise his word. And then he says in verse 11 again, he says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. It's a devil that sends forth fear. It's a devil who tries to torment. Oh, it's a devil who tries to distract and put all those thoughts in your mind and make you think, oh my, oh, well, if I do this, and I'm talking about things that are needful, not nasty things. You know, yeah, he's going to try to, you know, make you do evil, wicked things. But, oh my, sometimes the tempter comes and, you know, makes us so afraid that we're paranoid. And we're afraid to, you know, step forth and even do the Lord's work. Maybe even to go to the grocery store or to drive the car or whatever. I don't know what the struggles might be. But he says here, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Oh yeah, we might hear all kinds of rumors. Oh, there are all kinds of rumors going forth even right now. We don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. I don't know. I don't know what opportunities may even be possible down the road. We don't know what man may be trying to do to the people of the Lord. But the psalmist, David, said, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. Oh, praise the Lord, the praises. Again, as we said, how God inhabiteth the praises of his people. Oh, we can praise our God. We can worship him. Oh, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, how he looks for those praises to come forth, that true worship from the heart, from one that is surrendered to him, that heart that walks in truth. Praise the Lord, that heart that is given over to him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Oh, praise the Lord, our great desire. One day that we'd be able to stand before the Lord and all hear him say, well done, and forever therefore be with the Lord. Oh, yes, that place where the Lamb is the light, amen. Oh, that place that is full of righteousness. Oh, that place where there is no longer any sin or any temptation, because there will no longer be a tempter. Oh, praise our God, amen. The great desire of the heart, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Oh, to one day forever be at home with the Lord, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what time I am afraid. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to let him fight my battles for me. Oh, yes, I'm going to trust in God. Amen. Oh, what a secret is in that. I'd like to go to the third chapter of the book of Daniel for a moment. And this is familiar too, so I'm not going to, you know, read the whole chapter. But we kind of know, as we look at this chapter, what the circumstances were. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had built this image of gold. It was a huge image that he had built there, the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. And, you know, it tells us it was 60 cubits high and 60 cubits in breadth, in width, in other words. And if I compute that right, if a cubit is 18 inches, and that can vary, but say it is, you know, you got a height of 1,080 inches, or that's 90 feet high. Or, you know, the width, if, you know, it is 18 inches, that's 108 inches at 6 cubits in breadth. And, or in other words, in feet, it would be 9 feet wide. So you've got this huge image. Oh, man, you know, it's of gold. Besides, I mean, wow, what a feat. And then, of course, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, he gathers all the people together, you know, the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces, you know, they're all going to come. They're going to dedicate this image which Nebuchadnezzar hath set up there in the plain of Dura. And they all come, you know, when the heralder cries, you know, and they're all commanded, all, oh, people, nations, and languages, you know, when they hear the sound of all the instruments, that they are to bow down and worship that golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And then they're told, if you don't do it, if you fail to fall down and worship it, that same hour you're going to be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So, my, this king, you know, he declared this, and so it happened. You know, the instruments sounded, the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, all kinds of music. And the people fell down and worshiped the golden image. Except. Thank God for exceptions. Praise the Lord, there were certain Jews that refused to bow down and worship that golden image. Oh, yes, they were children of the Most High God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or if you want to call them by their Hebrew names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. There they stood. Oh, everybody else was bowing. And oh, that king, that Nebuchadnezzar, he had a temper, and he was in a rage, and he was furious, it tells us. And oh, he commanded, you know, those three Hebrews to be brought before him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and yes, they were brought before him, and you know, he's going to ask, you know, is it true? Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? No, he's going to give them, you know, another opportunity, he figures. And you know, he's challenging them, he's challenging God. You know, he says, if you don't worship my image, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And he challenges. He says, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? But you know what? These three Hebrew men trusted in God. And, you know, they were human. We don't, you know, we're not told, you know, their fears or their apprehension, but they were human. And you know, this isn't easy to resist, because you know, they know straight well this king is not, you know, he's not playing around. He's not, you know, he's very firm in what he has declared. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are very firm in their commitment to God. Their trust did not waver. And praise the Lord, they were able to respond in such a moment when normally you'd be afraid. And fear can do things to people. But despite that, they did not waver in their response to this king. And oh my, I mean, he was a powerful king. He had a powerful kingdom. And oh man, you know, he meant business, and he was very angry. He was in a rage. That's angry, all right. But it tells us in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They didn't have to go, you know, think about this and ponder it, and, you know, deliberate. No, they said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know, we're not going to waver. We don't need time to think. We're not concerned. We're not anxious. We're not, you know, going to waver. We know what we're going to say. It says, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't you know, boys? You know, they're going to cast you into a fiery furnace. And you're still going to, you know, declare that you will not bow down and worship that golden image. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar was even more full of fury, it seems. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. Oh, you could see it. Oh, he was mad. He was so full of fury against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Oh, they turned up the heat. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. It tells us in verse 21, then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments. I mean, you know, there's no delay. Oh, it's instant, you know. They're, you know, dressed in their apparel and you know, boy, oh boy. No moment to change a thing. They're cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. No time lost at all. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Oh, they were thrust into that furnace. But oh my, they may have fallen down initially as they were thrown, therefore, into that fiery furnace. Oh, they didn't stay down very long. Oh, the Lord was with them. Oh, the Lord came to their refuge. Oh, as a refuge, he came to their rescue. Praise the Lord. And all at once, Nebuchadnezzar saw something he never thought he would see, I'm sure. He says in verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Well, how about this? 25 says, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus with them in the midst of this fiery trial. Oh, this fiery furnace. Oh, praise the Lord. And they're loosened. Oh, from their bonds. Oh, praise the Lord. They're walking in the midst of the fiery furnace there. Oh, in the great heat of it all. And they're not hurt. They're not hurt. They're not hurt. Oh, yes, and there's one with them. Oh, the form is like the Son of God. Jesus Christ was with them there in the fiery furnace. And praise the Lord, our Savior is with us as we walk this earth. He knows our pain. He knows our suffering. He knows our needs before we ask. And he's with us. He's with us no matter what. He walks with us. Oh, he talks to our soul. He encourages us. He gives us a strength that we would not have otherwise. Praise the Lord, he's with us. And he said, before he ascended into heaven, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And oh, how we need to take that to heart, how we need to keep that in our minds. He's going to be with us until the end of the world. As we walk this world, he's going to be with us. It will keep our hope, our trust in our God, if we'll walk with him. Oh, yes, and keep his ways and stand up for him. No wavering. We don't want to waver. Oh, we want to stand fast on that solid rock, that determination that these three Hebrews had. I am not going to bow to that image. We are not going to bow to that image, no matter what. I mean, if it means that we're killed, we're going to stand fast. We're going to walk with God. We're going to keep His promises, or we're going to stand on His promises. We're not going to bow to that image. And here we are. I know early Christians, many of them were killed because they would not kiss a bust of Caesar. And so it has been through time that many who have served the Lord have suffered for His cause, even unto the death at times. And who's to know what we may yet have to go through? But one thing for sure, we need a determination in our hearts that we're not going to acquiesce to the whims of the enemy. We're not going to take his mark. We're not going to bow before the devil's work, his people, the Illuminati, the one worlders, all of the nasties that are upon the face of this earth with their own plan and program. Well, we're in the midst of it right now. Yep, they're trying to, you know, demand that this vaccine would be taken. And then, you know, it could come to the point where they're going to demand a proof of it. God only knows how far they will be allowed to go, because in reality, they are the ones on a string. They are the ones that must, oh yes, be subject to what God will allow. We don't know. There is going to be a time when it's going to be finished, when God has had enough and He's going to forever stop their efforts and bring this world to its end. And we don't know how it's all going to go. You know, they may demand that we have a card. They may make it mandatory to have some kind of chip inserted into our flesh to prove that we had a vaccine, a shot. That doesn't even, you know, can't even guarantee to be of any value. But I know one thing. Regardless of what's going on in this world, our hearts need to be right with God, and we need this strong determination that we're going to walk with God, that we're going to do His will, that we're going to live for Him. We're not going to take a mark. We're going to stand for the things that are right and good. By His grace and with His help, we're not going to waver. Oh, praise the Lord, by the grace of God. How we need Him. How we need His strength. How we need His help. Paul, before he went back to Jerusalem, was told by so many that once he got back to Jerusalem, and this is at, you know, the end of his ministry as far as to the Gentile world, his travels, for the most part, he had this determination that he was going to go to Jerusalem after his three missionary journeys. And he was warned, you know, the Christians, they knew it in their spirit, and they had prophesied even that, you know, when he got to Jerusalem, that evil was going to befall him, that they were going to persecute him. But you know what? He wasn't moved. He wasn't moved. He had a determination in his heart. And I believe his great determination was that one day he wanted to stand before the Lord Jesus. And he wanted to be able to say that he had fought a good fight, that he had finished his course, and that therefore there was a crown that was laid up for him, and not for him only, but for all them that love is appearing. Oh, that was in his heart. And although the brethren were witnessing that, you know, bonds and affliction awaited him there in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul said in verse 24 in that 20th chapter of the book of Acts, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Oh my, you could reason with him. You know, "Paul, why are you so determined? You know, just don't go and you'll be spared all this." But you see, he had a desire in his heart. Oh my, he had a determination to finish that course that he had begun, to do the will of God. And oh yes, to accomplish all that God had ordained for him to accomplish. Oh yes, he was reaching forth to those things that are before him, the heavenly goals. He was pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he had a determination. "Oh, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to let anything stop me. I'm determined. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to do the Lord's work. I'm going to stand up for him, regardless of what evil man may do unto me." Oh, praise the Lord. No, he wasn't afraid, because he trusted in God and he had it deep within his being to accomplish that purpose, the goal that he had so deeply embedded in his heart, that he was going to finish that course and do the Lord's will. Oh, praise the Lord. That third verse in Psalms 56 again. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Oh yes, these are perilous times, and we don't know what tomorrow may hold. Oh yes, and things happen, and we have worries, and you know, we have things to consider, and you know, we think, "Oh my, if I go here, I go that, there, you know, maybe I'll get sick, and then maybe this and that, and the other thing," and you know, all these things that we ponder and could even worry about. But oh yes, as the psalmist wrote in Psalms 56, verse 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We serve a mighty God. And oh, praise the Lord, we can put our faith, our trust in him. Oh, we can let him lead us, because he knows the way. And oh my, he's going to be with us regardless of whatever besets us or goes before us. Oh, praise the Lord. We can stand on his promises and know, oh yes, that he's going to lead us through this world. And by his grace and his mercy, we're going to finish our course and be able to stand before the Lord and be accepted of him, to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." Praise the Lord. That's what our life is all about, that we might finish our course and be accepted with God. Oh, praise the Lord. Do you have that determination in your heart? Is that your desire? Oh, with his help, with his strength, with his Holy Ghost, we can walk with him and we can overcome this world. And we don't have to be afraid. Oh, praise the Lord. We trust in the living God. Our confidence, our reliance, Our faith is in our God, and He knows how to get us home. Praise the Lord. You love Him tonight. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give us that determination. Put it deep within us, Lord. Help us to walk. Help us to continue to stand in the evil day, Lord, and to go forth and finish our course and do Thy will. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise our God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to sing number 188 in the chorus book, I Am Determined to Hold Out. And I don't know if you need the music for it. I think it's in the old red book.
I don't know. I might look at the red book a minute here. Funny thing, I was just looking at that. I'm thinking, boy, that goes along with
All right, bear with us one moment. We'll get situated here. When I first found Jesus, something o'er me stole. Like lightning it went through me, and glory filled my soul. Salvation made me happy, and took my fears away. And when I meet old Satan, to him I always say, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. Satan was so angry, said he'd soon be back. Just let the path get narrow, and he will lose the track. But I'm so full of glory, my Lord I always find. And I just say to Satan, old man, get thee behind. I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. This old time religion makes me sometimes shout. I don't have time to gossip, nor any time to pout. They say that I'm too noisy, but when these blessings flow, I shout, oh hallelujah, I want the world to know. I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. When I hear the trumpet sounding in the sky, and see the mountains trembling, to heaven I will fly. For Jesus will be calling, there'll be no time to mend. With joy I'll go up singing, I've held out to the end. I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Praise the Lord.